commodity broker Gordy Kelovitz with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. Gordy, the grains, I guess we did break a little bit one day, but it was kind of a boring week, especially later on.
Well, and it's weird. I mean, we started off with, you know, relatively good news. I mean, you know, there was kind of a break in export sales on Friday, but we're right back to having export sales this week again. I think only one day did we not have export sales announcements. And, you know, the rains came, but I think a lot of people admit the rains probably came too late to do very much good for too many people. And, you know, so by and large, I think it was a relatively decent week out there. And, you know, we finished off last week with kind of a pretty good thumping. Now we bounced right back this week. So, you know, like I said, just about everywhere you look at it, it could have been a whole lot worse. And I think the only downside is, you know, we did bounce back up, but we spent pretty much the rest of the week just flirting with kind of an important moving average and not really able to do anything with it. We just kind of got up to it, and then we just sort of spent the rest of the week just kind of bouncing up against it. So, you know, it wasn't also a week where we definitively kind of put a stomp on the bottom and went around. But it does feel a little bit like maybe we changed some hearts and minds kind of thing in this market a little bit and, you know, maybe, you know, gave it a little chance to feel a little better about itself.
Well, and I thought the big story was September beans and September corn, but especially the beans. I know typically farmers, we don't pay too much attention to that contract when you get this close to delivery because the elevators, ethanol plants, feed mills are already bidding off the December. So September doesn't mean a lot, but I kind of pay attention because that tells you just how tight stocks are. And I think that was a big story this last week. The market's starting to confirm we're really tight in beans especially.
Yeah, I mean, you know, finishing off the week with big premiums, kind of narrowed the premium back a little today. I mean, this morning it was out to almost 40-some cents, but still we pulled it back. You know, it's not settled, but we're going to be about 40-cent premium with September over the November beans. And again, in a year when we normally have what would be considered a decent crop, you start going into a carrying charge market, and it's the opposite. Same with the corn. SEP corn is going to finish off the week about 4 cents over December. And, you know, it almost feels like, you know, the marketplace is just desperate to get their hands on grain. And that's something I kind of been talking about since last spring, that by the time we get to this point in the game, there's not going to be a heck of a lot of grain out there. And guys are going to need it. And, you know, my view is it's going to be coming off the combine in a frenzy. I mean, guys are going to be saying, I want the grain. You know, let's make a deal. And, you know, it's going to be kind of a scramble. And that's what happened in Brazil is, you know, they had some issues down there. And once they got the harvest, everyone wanted and needed the grain. And, you know, somebody comes up short. So it kind of has that same feel going into our harvest here that, you know, in a couple of weeks when the combines get rolling, it's going to be kind of a scramble. Everyone's going to be standing with their hands out. And that's what the futures are telling us.
Well, and even the December futures in that the basis, typically we have a 40 or 50 cent basis in December for October delivery, and now it's 20 to 27 cents, and it's much narrower than if you rolled it to January or March, and that's unusual too. And again, says the market wants the grain this fall.
Well, and that's what we saw last winter, is, you know, once we got into harvest, every month going forward, the nearby contract firmed up and ended up going to premium. And, you know, the USDA started the year last year with, you know, 2 billion plus carryout, but the marketplace was telling us not going to happen. The marketplace was telling us we want the grain now. And, you know, it's doing the same thing this time. The difference this year, though, is how tight the world numbers are. I mean, that's the, crazy, impressive, however you want to categorize it, I guess. I mean, you know, we've had weather markets before, and it's usually kind of a regional thing. You know, the U.S. has a problem, and even the whole U.S. doesn't have a problem. It's, you know, big chunk of the grain belt, but not all of it. This year, just about everybody in the U.S. has suffered to some amount, even the record-setting supposed parts of the East. You know, now they're coming under what they're calling, you know, the heat's pushing the market, you know, to maturity. Canada's definitely had some weather problems. One of my contacts tells me that the Canadian feeders up there are paying milling quality prices to get feed grain because they need to get it and they're bringing it across the border. So, I mean, you know, everyone seems like they're really short. Then you throw in, you know, Europe and you know, Russia having issues. I was reading this just this morning that flooding that happened back in July in China affected 2.6 million acres of cropland were lost in that flooding, just that one event. Like I said, the monsoon rains in India have been kind of a big disappointment. They're talking about Myanmar, thanks to the coup, the farmers not getting the crops planted in a timely fashion, and potential famine there because the harvest won't have enough to feed everybody. I mean, we're seeing all these things around the world, and the grain prices are acting as if, you know, we're swimming in it. There's nothing to worry about. And yet the masses, it doesn't add up at all. So it's probably the oddest, you know, thing I've ever seen as far as how we get from here to there. But my guess is, since so many people still haven't covered new crop needs, it's going to become a frenzy at some point.
And could it maybe take until well into harvest before the market is forced to come to grips with the little less than ideal production here in the U.S.?
You know, there was a time a couple weeks ago I would have said there's not a chance that that could happen. I mean, it's just too big a story. And yet somehow the marketplace keeps on finding a way to ignore the too big a story. Like I said, that's, I think, the craziest part of all this is that, you know, this really is a big-time story, and somehow the marketplace is hiding it, ignoring it. I mean, you know, choose, I guess, how you want to describe it, but it's crazy. So, you know, at this point in the game, I've told a couple guys, I've never seen anything like this before, so trying to predict how it's going to react going forward, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot, I think. You know, the one thing I feel pretty comfortable is we don't have enough grain to get by. The question is, since the market's already being manipulated or, you know, whatever's going on, you know, when does that finally cease? And so it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's been a real difficult one to try and outguess. And my guess is, you know, it'll keep on being that way. But, you know, so far historically, when you run out of something, the price tends to go up. And, you know, I got a feeling if we get into the east, you know, the eastern belt where the record yields are supposed to be just, you know, everywhere, and we start coming up with disappointing results, and we'll know they're disappointing because we don't hear anything about them. You know, if they're record yields, they're going to tell us every day that they're record yields. If they're anything from average on down, they'll just be a total blockade of news. So that's how we'll know that the yields are coming in disappointing over there.
And the livestock this last week?
Well, I mean, they've been kind of crazy the last couple of weeks, and it feels like spreading has been kind of the main feature. But this week it came in with a little bit of news to play with. You know, we had the pro farmer numbers from last week, and it looked like I think a lot of guys had the attitude that cheap grain is in front of us and, you know, we don't have to worry about it. So we came out of the chute this week with cattle popping up pretty aggressively on Monday and Tuesday. But at the same time, that's when grains began firming back up. And so by the end of the week, the cattle market had drifted back off of those highs. So, you know, we closed on Friday with cattle at 134.52. Tuesday, we popped up to 138.22 on the Dease. And now we're finishing off the week at 135.32. So, you know, kind of come back off of those highs. This would still be a breakout close on a weekly chart. We're still higher than we were before, but we've given back a pretty good chunk of gains. And my guess is if the grains keep on firming up, those cattle will probably, you know, continue to go back into that sideways trade range again. And the hogs, you know, kind of the inverse of that. The hogs basically have been kind of flopping around, you know, back months really declining for a while. It got to a big discount to cash, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. And all of a sudden, they've been kind of firming back uphill. I think the big news there is I think they just realized it got too cheap. And like I said, you know, they were at a huge discount. The August went off the board at 109.80. And, you know, I think the back months were just way too cheap based on that. And they've been kind of firming up a little bit. So as the week went on, nothing extraordinary, but they've just been sort of creeping uphill. And today was actually a good day. They got most of the gain for the week today. And, again, it's interesting because they're closing over an important moving average. They're closing above a short-term trade range. So the hogs actually could be the big winner for the week. And October's closing up 285 today, the D's up 170. And from a chart standpoint, they're kind of doing a lot like what the grains did. They're just in a big coil, a big pennant. But in this case, it looks like, well, the grains are still going sideways. The hogs might be kind of working their way to a breakout to the upside here. And again, they're way below where cash was. So unless cash starts to work lower pretty quick, I think the hogs have some decent upside potential. So, I mean, the meats don't look negative. They just look like the cattle are more sideways unless grains continue to work lower, which I doubt. And the hogs feel like there's room to go just because they're so cheap.
Commodity broker Gordy Kulovets.